Chapter 43. Vi woke in the darkness in a cold sweat. Sister Ariel had muttered darkly about some ineptitude or other that kept Vi from getting a new room and roommate immediately. But after the dream Vi had just had, she was glad to be alone. She got out of bed, and the moment her feet touched the warm floor, dim light bloomed in the ceiling. Vi barely noticed. She pulled on the frumpy Tyros dress and headed out the door. Her stomach felt tight and sore. As she stepped into the hall, light bloomed like a star against the wall. Then, as if an unseen hand were drawing in big, bold lines, the light became a star, suspended in a spider web, which was draped between the elk's antlers. The beast regarded Vi tiredly, but stood to accompany her, the star illuminating her section of the hall with warm light. Vi forgot herself and touched the beast. The light remained, but all else faded. The web around the star was replaced by an old iron lantern. The elk disappeared, and in quick strokes was replaced with a bearded, fatherly woodsman. He nodded to Vi and lifted the lamp high. She touched the figure as it faded to be replaced with a grinning dog, balancing the star on its nose. She began walking, and it walked beside her. It was amazing. This entire floor was made to be a safe place for children. In sudden fury, she punched the wall. The dog faded, and a jester replaced it. Vi choked back a sob and hurried to the stairs at the center of the building. When she arrived at Sister Ariel's room, the door swung open before Vi knocked. "Come in," Sister Ariel said. She handed Vi a steaming cup of utai. Her eyes looked bleary. Vi was speechless. She stepped inside and took the cup in her left hand. "Sit," Sister Ariel said. Her room wasn't large, and most of it was covered in piles of books and scrolls. But there were two chairs. Vi sat. "Pay attention and hold still," Sister Ariel said. She took Vi's swollen right hand and tisked. "Salvatus." Pain shot through Vi's hand, then passed, and her bruises faded. "You have an unfortunate habit of hitting things that are harder than your fist. The next time your recalcitrance evinces itself in self-mutilation, I won't heal you." Vi had no idea what the words meant, but she got the gist.
"I want you to make it stop," Vi said.
"Excuse me?
You tricked me into ringing Kylar. I want this damn thing off."
Sister Ariel cocked her head to one side, dog-like. Her eyes gleamed.
"Had a lucid dream, did you?"
"Fuck! Stop using words I don't understand!" Something smacked Vi's butt so hard she screamed.
"The tongue is a flame, child," Sister Ariel said, her eyes cold. "We who speak to use magic learn to control it, else it burns us. Do you know what I was doing while you were studying today?"
"I don't give a shit."
Sister Ariel shook her head. "I have no moral qualm with your cursing, you fecal-mouthed cretin. When a guttershite curses, the world can't even hear it, Vi. When a major curses, the world trembles. So, I've come up with some punishments. I expect that you will exhaust them before I exhaust your defiance. But we're committed now. Your defiance makes only the path longer. Satroka Excepio Dazi." Though she'd briefly seen the aura of magic surround Sister Ariel, Vi felt nothing. "What have you done?" she asked, eyes narrowing. "That, my dear, is half the fun. With each new punishment, you get to guess. Now, you came because you had a particularly vivid dream, did you not?" Vi stared into the bottom of her cup. Why was she suddenly squeamish to talk about sex? "It was him. He came to my bed. It was real." "And?" Vi looked up. "What do you mean, and?" "You dreamed of bedding a man.
So what? Are you afraid you'll get pregnant?"
Vi's eyes locked back on the Utai.
"We didn't, actually... you know."
"Then why are you here?
Is it because of the earrings?"
"Your dream?"
"Definitely.
They allow husbands and wives who can't be together to still communicate.
Or conjugate.
Only a few, even of the oldest rings, could do that, by the way. As I recall, not a few sisters wasted decades studying it to find a way to pass messages instantly over great distances. It never worked. I can't recall why. But after the Third Alatiran Accord banning Magi from marrying talented men, no one studied it.
So, what I dreamed? Kylar dreamed?"
Vi paled. Sister Ariel looked at her quizzically. "That's what I said, isn't it?" It made Vi feel stupid all over again.
"So, it frightened you?"
"Not exactly," Vi admitted.
"Sometimes talking with you is like trying to master the Vengarisian weave."
"Ah, fuck this," Vi said. Suddenly, her mouth seemed to be on fire. She jumped to her feet, but Sister Ariel spoke, and something hit the backs of her knees and she fell into her chair. "What the fuck was..." Her mouth filled with fire again, and seeing the not-quite-suppressed smirk on Sister Ariel's face, Vi understood. After another 5 seconds, the pain stopped, leaving Vi gaping with pain and outrage. She touched her tongue, expecting it to be burned. But it felt normal.
"My mother used soap," Sister Ariel said, "but I couldn't figure out a weave for that.
Now, you woke me for a reason. After you tell me what it was, you can go back to bed." After 30 seconds, Vi realized Sister Ariel was serious.
"Have you ever had sex?"
Vi asked. Sister Ariel said,
"Actually, I lost my maidenhead riding a horse. I had no idea you were so coordinated."
Vi had tried that once. It hadn't ended well. Sister Ariel burst out laughing.
"I didn't know you had such a wit," Ariel said. "I like you more and more, Vi."
"Oh, from riding a horse, not while riding a horse." Vi laughed. She couldn't help it. She'd sooner die than squander even such a small bit of Ariel's regard. It was also an artful dodge of Vi's question. Hell, it was no use. Vi was tired and her stomach still felt as if she needed to shit.
I've bedded dozens of men," she said.
"Good job," Sister Ariel said. "The correction, I mean, not the promiscuity.
I've never felt anything with any of them. Not since I was a kid. But with Kylar, I'm no authority, but I think it's supposed to be different with someone you love."
That word set Vi off.
"Not, I didn't feel anything for them. I didn't feel them. I'm totally numb down there. But tonight...
Her mouth snapped shut. Since she was a child, fucking had been something Vi observed, something men did to her. Gradually, her powerlessness had become her power. Men were slaves to their meat. Vi's body was simply currency, with the advantage that she could spend it again and again. When she'd first thought of fucking Kylar, it had only been to think that after what she'd done to him, she owed him. Tonight had been horribly different. Different even from her earlier dream of Kylar. She had wanted Kylar in more ways than she could have imagined. Her body ached for him. It was like something lying so deep asleep in her that she'd thought it dead was waking. Fucking Kylar wouldn't be a casual gift of the use of her body. It would be surrender. "You have to get this earring off," Vi said. She was shaking. Cold sweat beaded on her forehead. "Please, before I go see Aline. She's still here, isn't she?"
"I'm sorry, child. Yes, she's here. You'll speak with her tomorrow."
Sister Ariel sighed.
"Viridiana, I've read everything I could find on those rings. The bond is unbreakable. It seemed like a good idea when they made them, I suppose. First, they were used to bond a magus and a major who knew what they were getting into. Then, others began to use the rings in political marriages. Kings and queens alike began to demand that the ringsmiths exaggerate the compulsion properties toward one side or the other, like yours are exaggerated to give you control. I don't know if we can understand the depth of human misery those magi wrought, but seeing what they had done, the Vaisana, the makers, took an oath to make such rings no more. They gathered those they could find and destroyed them, and every text on their making. That ring in your ear is at least 400 years old. That it survived to the present age is nothing less than a miracle."
"A miracle? You call this a miracle?"
Sister Ariel spread her hands helplessly. Her carriage was waiting for her. But when Mama Kay got in, she wasn't alone.
The dark blob in the opposite seat resolved itself into scarred rabble as soon as she sat.
"Good evening, Mama Kay," he said. "Headed to the coronation?"
"As a matter of fact, I am. You need a ride?"
"I don't think so. It seems I've fallen out of favor with the Queen."
"It seems?"
"I wake up from a good long drunk and go to get some hair of the dog, and I got 5 guys telling me stories about what I did to the Queen. Somehow it's the wrong day. I was drunk, but I shouldn't have slept for a day and a half."
"Durzo." Her stomach twisted.
Ben Rabble's face was as pale as his scars. "It's Durzo, isn't it?"
"Don't be ridiculous. Durzo's dead."
"I know, I killed him, remember?"
Oh yes, Rabble had killed Kylar when Kylar had been disguised as Durzo.
"He swore he wouldn't haunt me, but now my best client wants me dead."
"You still killed him. That had to be upsetting."
"You're not playing with me, are you? You didn't send some other wet boy to talk with Queen Grayson."
"I didn't send anyone. I didn't arrange for the ambassadors to be insulted. I haven't moved against Tara Grayson. Yet."
"Get out of the city for a while, Ben. Durzo probably just wanted to make sure you didn't take any more jobs for the woman who ordered his death."
Ben Rabble nodded, unthinking, and that unthinking nod confirmed what Mama Kay had suspected. It was indeed Tara Grayson
who'd ordered Durzo killed.
The bitch.
Well, she'd get hers.
Soon.